Hello, lovers of horses and lovers of mystery. Welcome to the show that combines your interest into one tidy package, Horse Mysteries. This is season, is this season number 4?
4, yes.
Wow, season number 4, everyone. First show, we're back. And to quote the little girl from Poltergeist, actually, no, I'm not quoting her. I'm paraphrasing her. We're back. You thought you'd escaped us, but here we are again. I'm David Dedrick.
I'm Lisa Williamson.
I know you're waiting for me to say that. I forgot to. Anyway, I'm David Dedrick. She's Lisa Williamson. We're here to talk about horse mysteries. Traditionally, we did a little segment I like to call Horse Bits, but we're going to drop that this season. We're going to replace it with... What are we going to replace it with, actually?
Horse Bots, all about worms.
No.
Nay.
No, thank you. We just won't replace it. We'll just go right into the mystery, I guess.
Okay.
I'm tired of you showing off your horse knowledge. Well, actually, I feel like I stumped you a couple of times last year, so...
Yeah, you did. Well, you did, and a listener did.
So what's the fun of that? What is this mystery called, dear?
Cancerous.
Oh, cancerous. So is this a zodiac reference?
Yes, most definitely.
Good. Get a little close to the bone over here. All right, well, I guess you will reveal all as you tell us a story.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say before we start that all, or not quite all... Most of our mysteries this season will be Olympic related.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we have an Olympic theme this year. So all the shows, you just said all the shows.
Almost all the shows.
Wait, I didn't hear that. You said another word or sounded like you might have added a bit more to all. But all the shows this year are Olympic related.
Except for some.
They're Zodiac related.
That's right. So, the time was 2010. That's when this starts. It kind of goes on.
All right. For a while. It's not even an Olympic year.
No, it's not. 2012 was the, well, 2008, 2012 were the two Olympic years surrounding that.
Yeah.
And then where is Ontario is where it starts.
Okay. Where? Oh, I see. Yeah. You're not asking a question.
No, no.
Because I could answer that quite ably.
No, you could not.
I could not answer that question?
No. Where is Ontario?
I think I could.
You could probably
answer answer that question. Yeah. Unless there's like an Ontario I don't know about.
I was talking about Ontario, California.
Oh, is there an Ontario, California?
There you go. Yes, there is.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway, so what happened? A place called Iron Horse Farms Incorporated of Hamilton, Ontario, to be more specific, is owned by Gregory and Irene Aziz. So Greg, who is CEO of National Steel Car Limited, North America's largest train car company, and who had been named Jump Canada's Owner of the Year the previous year in 2009, had bought 3 horses for his daughter Karina from her coach, Olympic gold medalist Eric Lamaz. Unfortunately, the 3 horses did not work out, and when the family tried to negotiate with Lamaz, the discussion failed to the point that Aziz then sued his daughter's now former coach and the farm he worked out of, Torrey Pines, for $800,000, claiming that Lamaz had misrepresented the horses. So, yeah, a lot of money.
Yes, it's a lot of money.
So one of the horses, Peppercorn, had come with a price tag of $275,000, but came up hopelessly lame shortly after purchase. Questions were raised about the horses, and this is a quote, identity, age, show record, physical condition, and capabilities, end quote.
Wow.
So after the lawsuit was filed, Karina Aziz was counseled by a third party to have a veterinarian investigate whether the horse had undergone a neurectomy in the past. So the vet Karina Aziz hired examined the horse and was, again in quotations, strongly suspicious for surgical neurectomy, end quote.
So what is a surgical neurectomy?
I think we saw that before in one of our previous episodes. I think maybe it was one to do with the Janes, but... Where a horse gets nerved, so it's...
Okay, so yeah. Whatever lamenesses it's experiencing, it can't feel them.
Correct, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it can... I mean, superficially, it sounds like a good thing. Oh, the horse can't feel pain, but the reality is they've got something going on that's bad there, and if you continue to work them at that level, they could suffer a catastrophic breakdown. So
okay.
I did read something at one point that life expectancy after a neurectomy was 6 months.
Oof.
But that was old information, so I don't know if that still stands, but certainly maybe 20, 30 years ago that was the case. Okay, so the case that was filed in 2010 ultimately claimed unjust enrichment, conversion, breach of contract, warranty, and misrepresentation, among other charges. It dragged on as Lamaze was hard to pin down, proving very difficult to serve papers to, being that he spent so much time of his professional life on the road, traveling to horse shows internationally. So a short time later, Lamaze disclosed that he had been diagnosed with glioblastoma, a form of brain cancer that carries a tremendously poor survival rate with a median life expectancy of only 14 months. Just 17% of those afflicted survive this cancer for 2 years, and it's rare that anyone makes it to 5 years. Lamaze stated that this diagnosis limited his opportunities to attend court as a result of the multiple surgeries and treatments required.
I see.
The Aziz family was at first somewhat sympathetic to Lamaze's situation, but as time wore on, it became apparent that Lamaze was still out competing successfully at the top level of his profession and traveling all over the world when he could have been appearing in court. Hmm. So as we talked about it dragging on, it started in 2010. Fast forward to 2022, so 12 years this has been going on. So
in 2012, my mic is sounding weird, but anyway. So in 2012, they start the case against him.
2010, actually.
Oh, sorry, 2010, yeah. 2010, they start the case against him. I thought they were, because you said these stories were all Olympic-based, I thought that he would, that they would wait to the Olympic year to start their suit. But anyway, so that was the connection. So they start their case in 2010, and so they have to serve him papers. So he successfully evades being processed, served.
For 5 years. Yeah, five years, and then he declares that he has brain cancer.
In 2015.
Yeah.
He declares that he has a brain cancer that, on average, lasts 2 years before the person passes away.
Yeah.
Or sorry. Usually 2 years, sometimes a bit more, but never more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So 7 years later, he's out competing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out. It's a bit of, you know.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
I wouldn't call it a mystery. I would call it a fantastic lie. But so when, you know, there's lying involved, it's best to kind of like make sure that all your ducks are in a row. Mm-hmm.
Archie was 2017, I guess. So it says, in 2022, 5 years after his diagnosis, Lamaze was named chef d'équipe for the Canadian equestrian team. So he coached and traveled internationally with the team, working with the horses and riders on a grueling show schedule, and was still lively enough to post about it on social media at the end of the day. However, he was still avoiding court, citing his health issues.
So are you going to talk a little bit about Eric Lamaze later?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I think many people know who he is, but some people wouldn't have any idea is.
I think maybe we can maybe mention that he had won an Olympic gold medal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In, would have been 2016?
2008.
Oh, sorry, 2008.
Yeah.
That's right. He's trading on this.
Yes.
Well, he's horse trading.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 2008, he won a gold medal. So, yes. So that's why he's chef d'équipe of the Canadian team.
Yes. Yeah.
Despite the fact that he might have some shady dealings, this is being overlooked.
Yes. Yeah.
His personal problems or personal, maybe ethical lapses are
being... Ethical, yes. That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Are being overlooked in order to get his qualification, his skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously he was a good rider.
Yes. Yeah.
An excellent rider and, you know, probably one of the most daring riders, I would say, I've ever seen ride a horse in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a mystery why chef d'équipe. Why are they hiring a guy who's being sued and also is claiming to have cancer and must be wearing a radiation helmet while he's riding? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, all it right. does. It does sound very weird. Then a year later, after he got hired as chef d'équipe on July 31st, 2023, his longtime lawyer, Tim Danson, I always think Ted Danson, different guy.
He only had two TV shows, Tim Danson.
So Tim Danson brought forth a motion to adjourn the Iron Horse trial, referencing Eric Lamaze's precarious health and debilitating medical condition. So 2023 was also 6 years after Lamaze had first revealed he was dealing with end-stage cancer. And some people were starting to ask questions.
I remember first hearing about this, and you're like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, on August 11th, 2023, Judge Jay Kurtz dismissed the request to adjourn the trial and recommended the next steps to this motion. So, step one taken by the Aziz family was to hire a private detective to look into this.
Yeah, okay. James Rockford.
Yeah. Who is Eric Lamaze? We'll go into exactly who he is.
Sure. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
But... No, that's okay. So he was born in 1968 in Montreal to Danielle, a native Parisienne who had settled in Canada.
Slumming it, eh?
Uh-huh. A 2011 Globe and Mail article stated that stated that, and this is a quote, his mother was a drug addict, his father was unknown, and his schooling stopped at grade 8. Fortuitously, he found himself on a farm at 13 and discovered that he was an equestrian, end quote. So Lamaze's early life was definitely rough. By the age of 6, he had been handed over to his grandmother, a heavy drinker who lived on social assistance in a poor part of Montreal. His mother was incarcerated when Eric was 8. By the age of 11, Eric was experimenting with street drugs like marijuana, LSD, and magic mushrooms. After 4 years in jail, his mother was released, and at age 12, Eric moved back in with her. She continued in the drug trade and did not discourage his use of cocaine. Cocaine at 12? What kind of an income does this kid have?
Yeah, what I was kind of thinking about when you're saying the street drugs, and they're like LSD, magic mushrooms, I'm like, these are like these kind of psychotropic drugs, and they're trying to like make them legal in Canada now. Like, you know, they have that guy has that store in Vancouver he sells... He used to be a pot advocate, but now that marijuana is legal in Canada...
Nothing to fight about.
He's going to keep fighting. Yeah. Now he's fighting for magic mushrooms and obviously probably peyote and whatever that other stuff is.
And he's the guy that mailed the magic mushrooms to all the MPs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, they didn't take them. I don't know.
I did hear they were going to press charges because he was sending it through the mail or something.
It's called the stunt.
Anyway.
He's fine with all that. He's fine with jail time as well. He's already done mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Through the marijuana, the attempts to get marijuana legalized. Mm-hmm. Years. So, you know what? The way it's going, he's going to succeed. So we'll have, you know, young Eric Lamaze's all over Canada can have LSD and magic mushrooms to their heart's content. Cocaine, though, now we're drawing a line.
Yeah, we'll draw the line there.
For now.
Yeah.
That's his next fight.
Yeah. So, back to Eric. So, an athletic and somewhat hyperactive youth, Eric also hung around local tennis courts, and when someone gave him a racket, he proved to have a great deal of raw talent. Soon he was competing and doing very well. At about the same time, he also ended up at Barnes and likewise proved to be a natural in the saddle. His mother made him choose between horses and tennis, and he went with horses, against the wishes of his coaches, mother, and grandmother. But Eric not only had a talent with horses, he also had a talent with people. He gravitated toward the high-end barns with the luxury cars parked out front and learned to talk to their big-money clients. He also worked hard, got rides on nice horses, and did well in shows, excelling in the junior hunters and jumpers. By his late teens, he was taking horses off the track and flipping them at big profit margins. One $800 X-race horse was sold for $30,000. But as he pointed out later, there's no law against having a big profit margin. Soon, he was selling horses for a living, and his career skyrocketed, both financially and competitively. Then, by the early 1990s, Eric started competing in Grand Prix, and after only 1 year at this level, in 1993, Lamaze was named to the Canadian Equestrian Team, then represented Canada at the World Equestrian Games in 1994. Eric was then named to the Canadian Olympic Show Jumping Team for the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Unfortunately, he lost his spot on the team on June 6, 1996, when he tested positive for cocaine. At that time, he also was given a 4-year ban from competition.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
No one told him.
No. So at a hearing with the Canadian Centre for Ethics in Sports on January 31st, 1997, Lamaze's personal history was laid out for all to see. He described how, after being drug-free from the age of 18, at 28 and about to be named to the Olympic team, he had a visit from a childhood friend who offered him cocaine, which he then did 4 times. He said there was no explanation for why he did so. He made no excuses and blamed no one, other than conceding that he had chosen to associate with the wrong type of people. Mr. Frank Watt, who kept horses with Lamaze, offered this testimony at the hearing. This is a quote. The absence of Eric Lamaze is a major injury to the health of show jumping in Canada. No one else in the last 3 or 4 years has so galvanized public interest in the sport as this young rising star, who quickly established himself as one of our top 2 or 3 riders and the brightest hope for the future of the sport in Canada. I believe I know all of the riders who made the CET, or Canadian Equestrian Team, since 1970, and most of those who have been shortlisted. No one else in the past quarter of a century has shown more brilliant natural aptitude for the business and sport of show jumping, and no rider promises to contribute more to the excellence of the sport. He has already proved by his achievements to date, his winning of a number of the premier competitions in Canada, his outstanding performance as a Nations Cup rider for Canada, his making and qualifying of 2 quality horses, that Canadian show jumping will be enriched at the highest level by his presence and participation, end quote.
I'll be happy to know that he's still drawing interest to horses, even now.
Yes, yeah. Doing the job. People keep talking about ethics.
Keeping the flames alive.
So, as a result of this testimony, and in hearing the facts of Lamaze's life laid out, arbitrator Ed Ratushny then overturned the ruling, but the decision in Eric's favor came down too late for him to attend the Olympics as the games had already concluded. So Eric had a competitively successful 4 years following that, and again looked to be named to a member of the 2000 Canadian Olympic team for Sydney. But on July 22nd, 2000, he once again tested positive for a banned stimulant and lost his spot on the team.
Oh, man.
The stimulants found this time were ephedrine and pseudoephedrine, which Eric claimed were from medicine, Advil, and a diet supplement. As this was his second drug infraction, this time he was given a lifetime ban from all sanctioned competitions. So, while contemplating suicide over the news of his lifetime ban, Eric attended a party where he smoked crack cocaine. In a twist of fate, 48 hours later, Eric got the news that the lifetime ban ruling had been overturned when it was shown that the manufacturer of the diet supplement had changed the ingredients of their product, which Eric had been taking problem-free at that time for 5 years. The surprise ruling and reinstatement orchestrated by independent adjudicator Ed Ratushny cited exceptional circumstances, in quotation marks, but this meant that Eric had to immediately take another drug test, which he then immediately failed, this time for cocaine. Yeah. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The crows come home to roost. So Bill Warren of the Canadian Olympic Committee reminded those concerned of the athletes' agreement Eric had signed earlier in July of that same year, agreeing to not use or attempt to use narcotics. Both the CET and the COC, Canadian Olympic Company? No? Corporation?
Committee,
sorry. I knew it yesterday when I read this. refused to reinstate Lamaze to the 2000 Olympic team, stating, this is a quote, Eric's conduct was in breach of this agreement, end quote. Huh. At that time, Eric stated, quote, I am not a drug addict. I do not have a drug problem. I have no craving for drugs. Cocaine is not part of my life, end quote.
Hmm. He doth protest too much, I fear.
Yes. So, Eric was back in the show ring the next year. However, not everyone was happy about it. At the 2001 Spruce Meadows Masters, Lamaze was once again riding for Canada on its Nations Cup team. Some spectators expressed their displeasure by leaving the viewing area, while others turned their backs or covered their eyes while he rode. Eric's response to the silent protest from the spectators was, this is a quote, If they choose not to watch it, I thank them for doing it in that fashion. I heard a lot of cheers, end quote.
Yes.
Yeah. Spruce Meadows owner Ron Southern also stated that Lamaze wasn't welcome at his facility, citing fears that sponsors would pull their support. However, Sport Canada's selection committee had chosen Lamaze to represent the country because, as committee chairman Danny Foster pointed out, the rules dictated that Lamaze, the top Canadian rider in the World Cup standings, could not be kept out of the ring due to his exemplary riding since the doping scandal.
This whole doping thing, like obviously it's not great that they're using cocaine, but it's not really like, is it a performance drug? Like they're trying to keep out like performance drugs, like, you know, hormone
Yeah.
And hormones, steroids, therapy, yeah. And steroids and stuff like that. It just feels weird. Like, I guess cocaine gives you energy, and I suppose maybe that's what they're... But it feels like you're like, it's an extra handicap to be a cocaine addict and an athlete, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not helping yourself. It's like when they kicked Ross Bagliati out for
Smoking pot.
Smoking pot. Yeah, smoking weed during the Olympics here. Or where it wasn't here, but when it was the first time snowboarding was in the Olympics. Maybe that was in...
Korea, maybe?
I can't remember
2000...
now.
No, that was 1988. That seems a long time ago.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but I remember that happening.
It was the mid-90s, sure. Anyhow. Yeah. And, you know, and eventually they rescinded this because, you know, he claimed that he hadn't...
It was secondhand smoke, I think.
That's right. And, but at the same time, like, it doesn't matter because it's not a performance drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless he was in an eating competition, then maybe that makes sense that they wouldn't want people, you know... But even then, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's just a blanket policy, unfortunately. I was at a thing just this last year where Ian Miller and his daughter Amy Miller were talking, and Ian Miller was also singing the same song, you know, that, and it's zero tolerance, and it's, even if you have the tiniest bit, whether it's you or the horse.
Yeah, yeah.
So both, I mean, obviously
if you have a horse as a cocaine addict, that's more dangerous than the rider.
But yeah, no, we shouldn't be drugging the horses. But he said, you know, it's something that, you know, often things are introduced without your knowledge.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's not the case with Eric Lamaze. But yeah, certainly maybe it's overstepping. I know that's the implication that Ian Miller was making.
Yeah, and this is the guy who got totally snubbed when they're like claiming that Eric Lamaze is the best thing that came along since the 1960s, and there's Ian Miller.
Yeah, Captain Canada, so many wins
and riding Big Ben to win after win. But it's true, he was a pretty stolid writer. He wasn't a super exciting guy to watch, but
but I mean, that's what precision gets you, right? That's Ian Miller. He's just so precise that it can be seen as unexciting.
I mean, you can appreciate that. The achievement, but yeah, to watch it's not quite as exciting as someone like Eric Lamaze. He looks like he's
a wild man.
He's a wild man. Well, he turns a horse on a dime, you know, and it comes to a jump, you're just like, well, how is he even getting any position here? Like, it's crazy. But I mean, that was his bread and butter was the jump off, I think.
Yeah, the jump off and just being unorthodox in all matters of things, even down to his tack. You know, there's a lot of things that you're like, what in the heck? Anyway.
Is that right? Well, explain this if you're not going to go into
it. Oh, well, I think in the Olympics, was he using either a Pelham, but only one rein, the bottom rein, not the top rein, or maybe it was a curb, which should have been with a double bridle. But yeah, he tended to use a lot of unconventional tack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In an unconventional way.
Yeah. Yeah. Just style.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's wearing two gloves.
Yeah. Okay. By 2007, Lamaze was competing internationally on his new horse, Hickstead, with great success. And Hickstead was another one. No one else could ride him. But Eric was so unconventional that the two of them clicked. So he was the first Canadian rider to break into the top 10 list of show jumpers in 20 years. He also became...
Sorry, I just want to interrupt you once again. Because I was thinking about Ian Miller as an example of someone who, I think he went to his farm where he worked out
In Perth, Ontario.
All the way to Perth. And... that would be confusing as well if I said I know where Perth is. Mm-hmm, and you're like, do you mean
Perth, Australia?
I'm like, what? I don't know.
Perth, Scotland?
Is there a Perth, Australia? I didn't even know that. That's a joke. Please, Perthites, do not get angry at me. I think that's what they're called, isn't it? Or is it Perthians?
I don't know.
Anyway, when you went to see Ian Miller and he was saying basically, if he rides a horse, it has to be at this particular level. Otherwise, it's not worth his time to ride that horse.
Yeah. What he said was, you can have the best horse in the world. You can have bred or have bought the best horse in the world. But until you have it jumping 3 feet, I cannot get on that horse. He said, I don't care if I can see the talent, if everyone knows the talent's there. He said, that horse has to be going at 3 feet or higher for me to get on it, because I cannot... put that sort of risk on my sponsors. Because, any professional athlete, you know, in that case has people paying for him to do the thing he does.
Yeah.
And so, he says, I owe it to them.
Yeah, but then you have Eric Lamaze, who who's riding a horse that everyone's going like, well, this horse shouldn't even be in
it's unrideable.
It's just kind of a funny comparison between the two.
Yeah.
And it's not a criticism of Ian Miller. He's a great rider.
Yeah.
But obviously his approach is completely different than Eric Lamont's approach was. Anyway, I'm just sighing because I kind of know this story. Yeah. So I know I admire him as a rider, Eric Lamont. I think he's an amazing rider, you know, like, but.
As a person,
apparently, I should not be admiring him.
No, you'll find out.
You know what? More. No more cocaine for me.
Well, there. It's done. You heard it here, folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can I stick to that?
Eric Lamaze became the first North American to win over $1 million in prize money. As a result of his astronomical successes and with a track record of consecutive clean drug tests, his previous lifetime ban was lifted, and he was awarded a spot on the 2008 Canadian Olympic team. So, in 2008, Lamaze and Hickstead won individual gold and team silver at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, which was actually done in Hong Kong.
yes.
In the January 2009 Rolex World Rankings for show jumpers, Lamaze and Hickstead were sitting in the number one spot, a position they recaptured in July 2010 when they won at Aachen. In 2011, they won 6 major international competitions, but Hickstead sadly died at age 16 of a ruptured aorta late in that year at a competition in Italy, having brought home $3.6 million in prize money over his competitive career.
Wow.
Eric went on to represent Canada with a new horse in the 2012 Olympics, and in the 2016 Olympics on Fine Lady 5, he brought home team bronze and individual bronze. With this, Eric set the record for most Olympic medals ever won by a Canadian equestrian. So overall, Lamaze represented Canada in 7 consecutive world championships, 1994, 1998, 2002, 2006, 2010, 2014, and 2018. In 2010, he brought home bronze and Hickstead was named Best Horse. He also represented Canada in 5 consecutive Pan Am Games, medaling in 1999, 2007, and 2005, where he collected team bronze, silver, gold, and individual bronze.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of hardware. So in the midst of his competitive career and at the prime of his life in 2019, Eric announced to the world that he had been diagnosed a couple years previously with glioblastoma, a highly aggressive brain tumor with an average life expectancy of 2 years. He stated that he planned to continue riding through his treatments. Lamaze was awarded the Order of Sport in 2021, and with Hickstead was entered into Jump Canada's Hall of Fame. Lamaze ultimately retired from riding in 2022.
I imagine his treatments were very similar to Gene Hackman's in the Royal Tenenbaums. Yeah. It's a burger.
Yeah. On February 7th, 2022, Lamaze was named a chef d'équipe of the Canadian show jumping team. In Denmark, at their first competition together at the World Championships, the team ended up 10th, which did not sit well with the ultra-competitive Lamaze. I remember reading the Facebook posts afterwards and going, woo-hoo-hoo.
Why?
Oh, they're just all over the place, just very rambling and very kind of blamey, but without saying specifics. But yeah. Anyway, less than a year later, on January 11th, 2023, it was announced that Eric would no longer be serving as chef d'équipe for the Canadian team. When his contract ended, he was replaced as chef d'équipe by his former teammate, Ian Miller. In 2017, Eric told those close to him some devastating news. He had developed brain cancer. Already appearing physically weakened, he often was unable to finish his work around the barn. Some days he did not show up at the barn at all. He started going to bed between 5:30 and 6 p.m., uncharacteristically early for him. So glioblastoma is a devastating and incurable, fast-growing form of brain cancer. It's the most aggressive and also the most common form of brain cancer, representing 15% of all brain tumors. Median survival rates are 10 to 13 months with treatment or 3 months without. Only 25% survive the first year, and it is very rare for an individual to make it to 5 years. Glioblastoma is a form of cancer that does not metastasize or produce secondary tumors. So Dr. Clark Chan, the head of neurosurgery at the Minnesota Medical School, has indicated that research is ongoing to establish a link between those who have high-functioning brains and the development of glioblastoma, due to its prevalence in the death of many highly educated, high-profile leaders or creatives. Some who have succumbed to glioblastoma are Senators Ted Kennedy, John McCain, and Beau Biden, creatives George Gershwin, Gene Siskel, Tim Conway, Buddy Rich, and Canadian musicians Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip and Neil Peart of Rush.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Glioblastoma often invades the creative centers of the brain. In spite of his ill health, Lamaze continued to compete, but was not his usual sharp self. In 2018, he did win a $292,000 Grand Prix at Spruce Meadows. In 2019, Eric went public with his cancer diagnosis. After winning a class at the 2019 Royal Winter Fair, former Canadian Olympian Michel Vaillancourt stated, and this is a quote from him, "What he's doing is magic. First of all, most people undergoing cancer treatment physically could not do what he's doing. They just couldn't handle it. What they put him through in order to be here today is unbelievable. It's just been an incredible road. And between all this, he finds the time to get on a horse because it's the only time he feels right. The rest of the time, life sucks." End quote. So meanwhile, the Aziz trial was running concurrent to Eric's struggle with cancer. On January 19th...
Oh, sorry, can I ask a question?
Yep, yep.
So is this the only instance of him having sold problematic horses to people?
No.
Or it's okay, there's
yeah,
a history.
Gonna hear,
okay.
Yeah, we're going to hear okay, a lot about sorry. That. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
I keep jumping ahead.
No, yeah, that is okay. It is okay. You have good instincts. Yeah. So on January 19th, 2019, Eric asked for a postponement of a deposition in the Aziz case, as he stated he was deathly ill. However, the plaintiff's lawyer became suspicious when, just after his request, they learned that Lamaze was competing in Wellington on January 31st, 2019. At that point, the plaintiffs hired a lawyer to track Lamaze and his activities in Florida. That year, he competed throughout March and did very well, and had a strong showing at the Royal Winter Fair in the fall. While Lamaze did eventually sit for that deposition, by 2020, he was publicly sharing that his cancer treatment had ruined what remained of his health by decimating his organs. He stated that these health concerns also put him in danger of a heart attack and stroke. Lamaze also claimed that his kidney had become infected as a result of his treatment, and although his doctors had looked into a transplant, they did not go ahead as his chances of survival were so low. He told People variously that instead, doctors from either Australia or New Zealand had given him an unapproved artificial kidney complete with a computer chip. However, on the subject of the artificial kidney, a doctor of nephrology at Yale, Dr. F. Perry Wilson, stated, quote, "I do not believe that it's possible," end quote.
I'm wondering that myself.
Yeah. Likewise, Dr. Jonathan Himmelfarb of the Kidney Research Institute at the University of Washington stated, quote, "I suppose that the technology could exist, but I am unaware of its existence," end quote. In May of 2021, Eric withdrew his name for consideration for the Tokyo Olympics, citing his health concerns. In June of 2021, at the Longines Global Champions Tour Walkenswad, CSI 5 star in the Netherlands, Lamaze was competing on Fine Lady 5 and won the Grand Prix qualifier, and qualified for the jump-off in the Grand Prix, finishing 5th. He was then chosen for random drug testing, but hopped off his horse and ran away when the official approached him about the testing. Eric has since stated, "I thought," and this is a quote, "I thought I was being kidnapped. That's why I refused to take the test," end quote. Eric claimed later, in a September 2023 Facebook post on his personal page, that he was unfairly targeted by the FEI, and that he would frequently stop taking his cancer meds a week prior to competitions so that he would test clean. Lamaze stated that he endangered his own health by stopping treatment just so he could legally participate. At that time, the FEI opted not to crack down on Lamaze, as he maintained that his illness was going to result in his competitive career being cut short soon anyway. On November 16, 2021, Eric Lamaze publicly announced that Beth Underhill would be the person who would take over the ride on all his competitive horses due to his ongoing poor health. Shortly after this, on February 7, 2022, Equestrian Canada named Eric as chef de keep for the Canadian show jumping team. However, Eric did not last long in the role. The team was not successful. Eric did not react well in light of the results and got on social media, making some remarks that made people more than a bit unhappy. His contract was not renewed in 2023. Eric Lamaze was supposed to go to trial as defendant on the Iron Horse case in July of 2023. His counsel filed this motion. Here's a quote. The defendant, Eric Lamaze, Torrey Pines, in quotation marks, that's his farm, has been battling brain cancer for a number of years, which has now spread to his throat. Provided that his vitals are stable, Mr. Lamaze is scheduled to undergo a further surgery on or about July 11, 2023. Obtaining instructions is currently unattainable, but assuming that all goes reasonably well, taking into account his cognitive impairment, further time will be required to prepare for trial, end quote. His counsel went on in court to summarize that Lamaze had been diagnosed with brain cancer in July of 2017, had gone on to compete until September 12, 2021, and since then was no longer riding or competing. His official retirement had been declared on March 30, 2022. Counsel also stated that surgery that was originally scheduled for June 30, 2023, had later been rescheduled to July 11, 2023, and as a result of the surgery that rendered Lamaze unable to talk and the resultant cognitive impairment, a delay would be required. No medical records or reports were offered in support of these disclosures, although photos of Mr. Lamaze's face, apparently disfigured following surgery, were displayed. However, the plaintiff was skeptical of the above, as a similar claim had been made by Lamaze in order to avoid going to court back in 2019. Following this, Mr. Lamaze successfully competed in Florida on March 13th, 14th, and 16th of the same year. On July 25th, 2023, Mr. Lamaze's counsel and longtime friend, Mr. Tim Danson, presented to the court a medical report dated April 5th, 2023, purportedly written in Dutch by neurosurgeon Dr. Aloub Tabe of the Chirac Cancer Institute in Brussels, Belgium. However, upon looking at the website, it was clear that the address of the clinic was incorrect. The doctor's name had been written incorrectly, and of the languages that the doctor was fluent in, Dutch was not one of these listed. The contents of the report raised even more suspicion, as it stated that doctors were looking after Lamaze for a severe inoperable brain tumor that required chemotherapy to shrink it and had a high risk of failure. An excerpt from the report stated, here's a quote, I have been in contact with Mr. Lamaze since January 31. He's never been the same. We feel his reputation is ruined and suffering from mental distress. We can only go almost 3 months without proper nutrition and stress could be too late. He is confused and in pain that his condition has no consideration. We will do what we can, but he needs access to funds. Thank you so much. We can estimate that his chance today is 50-50. End quote. So most of that was one long sentence.
That was the translation? Or that was actual...
That was the letter. Yeah.
Oh, that was
the
letter.
But, yeah. So, a second letter carrying no legible signature, also purportedly issued from the Delta Chirac Hospital, was also presented, stating that Lamaze was scheduled to undergo a high-risk craniotomy on August 11, 2023, and stated, here's a quote, it is expected that Mr. Lamaze will not be able to speak, quite possibly on a permanent basis, and will also require a lengthy rehabilitation process, that could exceed a year or more due to the severity of the tumor, end quote. This letter also counseled that Mr. Lamaze was to avoid all types of stress leading up to the surgery. By the summer of 2023, Eric's appearance had changed. He was now sporting a large cavity in his face near his mouth and nose. While he maintained that he was still suffering from cancer, others speculated that the changes in his appearance were the result of a relapse. Lamaze believed that his facial disfigurement would be sufficient to delay his trial. The plaintiffs continued to push forward. Eric's lawyer Danson pushed for documentation from Eric's doctors. Eric produced paperwork from his physician in Belgium. Lawyer Danson has since stated that he took the paperwork to be, quote, truthful and authentic, end quote. On August 9th, 2023, Lamaze's representative, Mr. Danson, produced more paperwork that had been provided to him from associates of Lamaze. There were signed documents from a second neurosurgeon at the Chirac Institute, a Dr. Benoit Perrault. Although what was written was identical to the previous document, there were also some additions, including the information that Lamaze now had laryngeal throat cancer that had attached itself to his larynx. As an aside, it is interesting to note that glioblastoma, typically, there is no secondary spread of tumors.
Yeah.
So the report went on to assert that surgery done on July 11, 2023, had removed part of the tumor successfully, but more surgery and treatment would be required. Additionally, as a result of the surgery, Lamaze was no longer able to speak. His condition was not stable, and as a result, further surgery that had been scheduled for August 4, 2023, had been postponed. The final paragraph of this report stated, in quote, Mr. Lamaze is at risk of never having the ability to communicate verbally again. Currently, Mr. Lamaze is very ill. He is weak, despondent, and cognitively impaired, end quote. At this point, the judge directed the plaintiffs to attempt to contact the doctor by phone. This was unsuccessful, as a person to whom they spoke informed them the doctor was away on holidays, in spite of earlier documentation stating the doctor was to be reporting for surgery that week. Iron Horse then went on one step further and hired a Belgian licensed detective, Johan Kopens. On August 10, 2023, Kopens met with Dr. Alou Ben Taib of the Chirac Delta Hospital, who looked over the paperwork that Lamaze had forwarded to be presented to the court. Dr. Ben Taib pointed out that his name was incorrect on the phone, denied that the signature on the paperwork was his, and informed Kopens that he did not speak Dutch. He also clearly stated that Lamaze was not his patient, and he had never met Lamaze. Kopens then spoke to a representative of the legal department of the Chirac Hospital, who confirmed that the documents purported to have been written by both Chirac doctors, as well as the signatures on them of both Dr. Ben Taib and Dr. Perrault, were forgeries. An in-house legal document prepared by the Chirac Hospital on August 11, 2023, stated that all of the documentation presented at the Aziz trial by Mr. Lamaze as being from the two doctors working at the Chirac Hospital were fraudulent.
Wow.
When the forgeries were revealed, Eric's longtime friend and lawyer, Danson, informed the court on August 28, 2023, that he would be stepping down as Eric's lawyer. He stated, quote, Eric is very sick, but maybe not with cancer, end quote. Justice Marvin Cruz addressed the fact that Lamaze had been attempting to avoid a day of reckoning in court for the last 13 years, ultimately ending in his, quote, feigned end-stage cancer, end quote. He noted that Lamaze's claims were, quote, no longer credible or reliable, end quote. Lamaze was then ordered to pay costs for earlier missed hearings. He had until October 9th, 2023, to find a new attorney or risk losing the lawsuit by default. Lamaze had now blamed his staff and Danson for the paperwork situation, stating that they were all part of the conspiracy to ruin him. Karina Aziz, whose family at one point did consider dropping the suit, stated, quote, He took major advantage of my family and our trust. Everybody was painting him like a hero, but I thought that what happened to me was wrong, and I wanted to stay in pursuit of the truth, end quote. Asked before about has he had other issues with misrepresentation or other things, and I will
no provide
I will
a list
lay it all out now. So other lawsuits, traffic violations. On March 12, 2009, Eric Lamaze faced traffic charges in Wellington, Florida, after a high-speed crash which ended when his Mercedes up on the neighbor's property causing $52,000 US in damages. The accident happened beside his $3 million U.S. West Palm Beach estate, where, as a side gig, he flips homes for profit. Ultimately, Lamaze was charged with careless driving, leaving the scene of an accident, and driving with an expired license. Lamaze denied he had done anything wrong and claimed that he was a passenger, not the driver. He demanded a jury trial and then left the country immediately to compete in Europe. Eric had additional traffic infractions that ended up in court in 2010 twice, 2011 and 2021. The jewelry lawsuit. In 2014, Eric Lamaze was back in court, but this time as plaintiff. Lamaze had entered into an agreement with Christopher Kaufman, owner of the now-defunct high-end Palm Beach jewelry store Le Salon. Lamaze had contracted Kaufman to sell a ring for a minimum of $65,000. Kaufman had then sold the ring for far less than its value. Lamaze later was paid $10,000 for the ring. Lamaze sued Kaufman, seeking damages of $55,000 plus interest, costs, and attorney's fees. Kaufman victimized many others with this scam as well, and I think maybe educated Eric, as we will learn. So, First Choice 15 lawsuit. Eric was back in court again in 2017 when Janice Aaron of Florida alleged that Lamaze solicited money from her and others for the purchase of a horse, First Choice 15. Lamaze was to train, care for, and compete the horse. The minority owners were to take a percentage of the sales price of the horse when it was sold, and the owners also had the right of first refusal in the case of a pending sale. First Choice 15 went on to represent Canada at the Rio Olympics under Jan Kandel. Aaron heard of the fact that the horse had been sold for 200,000 euros, equivalent to 231,000 US, to the UK, well below its purchase price. Aaron had fronted Lamaze $220,000 for her 20% share in the purchase of the horse. The minority owners were also never informed of the sale. Eric also was taken to court by another of the First Choice 15 owners, Susan Chu of Tanmu Corporation. So the Makoviak lawsuit. A case filed on January 24, 2019 by Robert and Sandra Makoviak, who are aged, small-scale breeders of quality horses and owners of Legacy Oak Stables. They were U.S. equestrian team donors and breeders of the horse Uruguay, ridden by Richard Spooner. Unfortunately, their lawsuit did not achieve the end results they wanted with Lamaze, so they lost. Then there was the barn manager lawsuit. In a 2020 lawsuit that dragged on into 2022 with Marie Fraes, Eric's longtime former personal assistant, logistics person, and barn manager of his Torrey Pine Stables, it was asserted that in 2014, Eric Lamaze purchased a property in Wellington, Florida for Fraes to live in, with the understanding that Fraes would make the mortgage payments. Once the house was paid off, the house would be put in Fraes' name. After paying off the house, Fraes ultimately took Lamaze to court for fraudulent lien, slander of title, and breach of contract. Lamaze countersued, alleging that in 2018, Fraes embezzled money totaling $200,000 from Lamaze and his company, Little Creek Investments, and used the plundered money to pay off the house so that Fraes would then acquire clear title of the house. At one point, Lamaze stated he was unable to attend court on April 16th due to cognitive impairment. Meanwhile, social media posts showed him coaching and smiling at the Longines Global Champions Tour of Miami Beach between April 14th and 16th. In support of Eric's assertion, in April of 2022, Lamaze's lawyer, Danson, prepared a lengthy chronology of Eric Lamaze's battle with brain cancer. He was not the lawyer in this case, but stepped in as Eric's longtime friend and father figure. A short time later, when Lamaze declined the request to appear in court on May 20th, as he claimed his health was too fragile, Fraes was able to show multiple pictures of Eric in Europe, celebrating Beth Underhill's big win on Du Mercy Van T&L, owned by Lamaze and the Rain family. Partway through the trial, in October 2022, Lamaze's U.S. law firm withdrew from the case, citing irreconcilable differences.
Lawyer used for liar.
Yeah. Consequently, in November of 2022, the case was awarded to Fraes as Lamaze refused to appear, claiming ill health in spite of the fact that he was coaching in Europe at the time and also campaigning horses at nearby World Equestrian Center over the course of the trial. Judge Kasternakes noted that Lamaze, in quotations, willfully and contumaciously, that's a new word for me, contumaciously.
Contumacious, yeah. I think that's...
On purpose?
No, being fighting or stubborn or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, he willfully and contumaciously failed to comply with court orders to produce bank statements, pay sanctions to Fraes, retain new counsel, or appear at hearings. He also ordered Lamaze to pay Fraes' costs and attorney fees, which he has not yet done. So that's an end quote. Then there is a condo lawsuit.
Oh, boy.
I know. In 2022... Lamaze was sued by the managers of a $30,000 per month luxury apartment in Miami. Lamaze owed almost $80,000 in unpaid rent, damages, and early lease termination fees. In the Miami luxury apartment case, the property managers allege that Lamaze signed a one-year lease in November 2020 but stopped paying rent in March 2021. Lamaze informed the property manager he would be terminating his lease early on May 1st due to, quote, an unforeseen medical emergency, end quote, and asked for understanding, quote, considering the circumstances of my departure are out of my control, end quote. In February of 2023, a Miami-Dade circuit court judge ruled in favor of the property management company and ordered Lamaze to pay nearly $120,000 U.S. Court records indicate he has not yet filed necessary paperwork related to the case and could face further sanctions. In 2023...
their revelations get less and less shocking.
Yes, yeah. So in 2023, another private landlord in Miami sued Lamaze for $12,500 in unpaid rent on a one-year lease that Lamaze signed in January and broke in April, a judge found in the landlord's favor.
Shocking.
You want to hear about the yacht lawsuit?
Sure. Let's keep it going. Keep it rolling here.
Yeah. Back in 2017.
What hasn't he been sued over?
Well, back in 2017, Centennial Bank had loaned Lamaze $1.8 million to purchase a 2015 70-foot Baia motor yacht called MY Water Jump the Second. The case went to court on March 16th, 2023, and on March 23rd, 2023, the bank successfully foreclosed upon the yacht and repossessed it, saying that Lamaze, Torrey Pine Stables, and another of his businesses, Water Jump Limited of the British Virgin Islands, owed more than $1.42 million after they stopped making timely payments in 2020 and stopped making payments altogether in September 2022. Horse lawsuits? You want to hear about some of those?
Sure. Okay. You know, if he lives long enough, we're going to get motorized scooter lawsuits.
Probably. Okay.
This is cancer.
Yeah. This is called the Newbury-Nika lawsuit.
Okay.
Okay. In February 2023, a new lawsuit was filed in Wellington, Florida by people who were clients of his for more than 40 years. So they've been supporting him for 40 years. So Lorna Muffy...
Well, he probably was reliable for a long time. And yeah. Then, you know, obviously he's... You know, personal problems of, i.e. drug addiction has taken over his life, made him less reliable.
So, yeah, Lorna Muffy Guthrie and Jeffrey Brandmeier, who claim Lamaze deceived them on a 2020 horse deal worth $1.4 million U.S. when Lamaze, in quotation marks, falsely and deceptively inflated the price of two horses to be purchased as investments and that he withheld the proceeds of sale. End quote. So in the initial purchase of the horse, Newbury Balaya NL, or Newbury for short, the plaintiffs were unaware Lamaze was also acting as agent in the sale. He inflated the price and he made a profit in excess of $100,000 by charging the plaintiffs over the asking price. Hmm. The pair were under the impression that they would have 100% ownership in Newbury, but later learned another interest had invested $190,000 in the horse. And it was registered under that interest name, and the horse never appeared under the plaintiff's name. Although Lamaze won two classes at Auchan in 2020 on Newbury, following some crashes at shows in the U.S., the horse sustained a career-ending injury and was no longer considered saleable. Hmm. The second horse that was purchased was Nika V.D. Bishop, also known as Nika. The plaintiffs believed they initially had a 50% share in the horse, but later they learned they had received a 45% share in Nika. The horse was then sold for $2.27 million after competing under Beth Underhill in the World Championships. But when the pair approached Lamaze about their portion of the sales money, Lamaze stated that he had spent it all. Eventually, the pair received $70,000 from Lamaze for their interest in the horses. After initially suing Lamaze in January for fraud, breach of contract, and breaking Florida law, claiming he owes them more than $1.4 million related to the purchase and sale of Newbury and Nika, on September 14, 2023, right after his medical records were proven to be fake in court, the couple filed a nearly 300-page motion in Florida court, further accusing Lamaze of perjury and fraud, not just due to the falsified documents, but also in reference to any mention of brain cancer previously made in court. They asked that the court sanction Lamaze and his attorney by throwing out all of their arguments and finding in favor of the plaintiffs. Lamaze's Florida lawyer, George Coe, quote, filed a motion to withdraw as Lamaze's attorney after the forgeries were exposed, filed a supplement to that motion on September 20th, arguing that he was unaware of Lamaze's apparent lies and that he had to withdraw in part because his services had been used to provide the court with false information, end quote. So he went on to say, and this is still a quote, at this time, and after months of attempting to obtain additional information, counsel does not know if other representations regarding Mr. Lamaze's health are false. However, the fact that some of the facts I relayed to the court are false or appear to be false mandates an immediate end to counsel representation of the defendants in this matter, end quote. So Coe went on to emphasize that he took Lamaze's word regarding his health issues. Mm-hmm. So in court, reference was made to a, quote, September 10th article from the Toronto Sun in which Lamaze claimed the forged documents were never meant to be used in Canadian court, and instead meant to be used to move a court date in an American lawsuit that has frozen his bank accounts, end quote. Another bombshell in the case was a text chain that Guthrie was able to submit to court that showed conversation between herself and Lamaze's then executive assistant, Carlotta Gordon, where Gordon calls Lamaze a liar regarding his assertion that he was being treated for brain cancer. One text change dated April 1st, 2022, made reference to the FEI and stated, quote, he thinks they are focused on the cocaine and the testing, but they are focusing on his health, whether sick it's true or not, because he never showed up to any of the FEI court requests, because he said he is sick, but he doesn't proof sick anything from doctor, of course, because he can't proof sick anything, end quote. Gordon initially signed a statement supporting the plaintiffs, but later recanted. So do you want to hear about the Chad lawsuit?
The Chad lawsuit?
Yeah, Chads are people from Alberta. So, okay. Yeah, high profile Lamaze students Kara and Brenton Chad publicly announced they would be leaving Torrey Pines Stable in January of 2020. The Chads then filed a lawsuit on January 30th, 2023.
So Torrey Pines was based in Alberta?
Torrey Pines is in Ontario, and then they have Torrey Pines South in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So these are the people that bought him Torrey Pines South. They paid for the Florida place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it's a good name, though, Torrey Pines.
It is, yeah. So this lawsuit involves Torrey Pines South, Lamaze's former Wellington, Florida stables. Robert Chad, Kara and Breton's father, purchased the facility with Lamaze and another investor for $8.25 million in 2015. And Chad alleges he bought Lamaze out of his share in October 2020. However, quote, after receiving payment, Lamaze has refused to turn over bookkeeping records, documents related to the funding and purchase of the property, account for roughly $1 million missing, and sign other paperwork necessary to finalize their business transaction. The suit asks the court to force Lamaze to do so, end quote. So a second suit, filed April 3rd, 2023 by the Chad family through their Calgary-based Stone Ridge Farms, LLC, accuses Lamaze of, quote, misrepresenting a horse he sourced for the family and, in violation of Florida law, failing to disclose that he was working as an agent for the seller, as well to pocket a hidden and hefty commission amounting to as much as half of the €625,000 the Chads paid. The horse's performance was dismal at best, according to the suit, and it was sold 4 years later for 8,000 British pounds, end quote.
Yikes.
Yeah. FEI lawsuit?
The hits just keep on coming.
Yeah. So
all right.
The FEI is now pursuing tampering charges as a result of the false documentation submitted by Lamaze after he failed to comply to the 2021 testing order at the competition in the Netherlands. In many of the cases filed against Lamaze, the plaintiffs were unable to locate him to serve legal notice of the suits. It should also be noted that most fraud cases do not make it to or through court, as the cost of prosecuting typically exceeds the value of the item at stake. As a result, many fraudsters do get off with no or few repercussions to continue on in the same vein. In a September 2023 court appearance, Lamaze stated that his cancer was now in remission and had been since 2021. His claims that he really did have throat surgery at the Charette Clinic in July have been confirmed by plastic surgeon Dr. Axel DeVoit. Lamaze attempted to explain the false documents, claiming he was being treated for cancer at the clinic when he stated that his bookkeeper, Julie Wilson, had written the false letters that had earlier been presented to court. Lamaze claimed to be unaware of the contents of the letters and claimed to have not authorized the letters in any way. On September 9, 2023, Eric posted a 2,000-word-long rambling post on Facebook denying any wrongdoing and proposing a few conspiracy theories as to the root of his troubles. As about this time, the CET's chef de keep, the FEI's drug testing, and the Aziz's lawsuit. He finished it with this Freudian slip. So here's a quote. I will need to get better, but these attacks, like yesterday, must stop. I will stop them. I can't take... to hatred. Best of luck to the Canadian team. I will be cheating for you all. In November of 2023, in court, Florida 15th Circuit Court Judge Maxine Chessman determined, and this is a quote, the acts and conduct of Lamaze defendant's fraud presented herein were not mere mistakes, accidents, or inadvertencies. They were deliberate, complete, and major acts of fraud upon this court. They require the most serious of sanctions. Mr. Lamaze also presented deliberately false testimonies about his medical condition, including alleged cancer, which was apparently long cured before the claims of cancer were ever made in this court. End quote. Lamaze is appealing Chessman's determinations. Lamaze has since stated that his cancer has been gone since 2021. He did indeed have throat cancer that he had surgery for with a plastic surgeon at the Shirek Clinic in July 2023, and he has admitted that he did lie in court regarding having brain cancer in the last 2 years. So the suit with the Rain family is now moving to a grand jury trial. The Rain family. Okay, so in conclusion, somehow or other we seem to have missed the Rain family. So the Rain family.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. The Rain family are the people who invented the video game Fortnite.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mark and Tara Rain, I think, are their names. They're Canadians.
The Canadians, yeah.
And so they were the, I think, the other half in a couple of these dealings that people have been, like the Nika lawsuit. Okay. They were the other money behind
it. I see.
I'll read in conclusion because I did mention them there. I don't know how I didn't mention them here.
Okay.
Anyways, maybe they hadn't gone to court.
They may have contacted you and asked to be left out of this.
Probably, yeah. Okay. So on August 14th, 2023.
They're computer programmers, so they went into your word file and they erased themselves from it.
That's it. Okay. So on August 14th, 2023, the Aziz family, or Iron Horse Farm Incorporated, combined their two suits into one claim to be tried together or one after another, claiming breach of contract, conversion, and unjust enrichment. The suit is against Eric Lamaze and also his Torrey Pine Farms, and also names Ainsley Vince, her farm Linden Ridge, Trinity Farm, and Marcy Vince. In Florida, Eric's accounts have been frozen as of May 31st and garnished as a result of the ongoing litigation. Another financial blow happened when Eric lost his gig working for the wealthy owners of the company that produced the video game Fortnite, Mark and Tara Rain. In March of 2020, the Rains partnered with Lamaze and were the money behind the $8.97 million purchase of Torrey Pine South, as well as the horse Nika and many others, but parted ways with Lamaze in 2023 when he allegedly stopped showing up for work and allegedly stopped paying his staff.
Hmm.
Nick Skelton and Laura Kraut are now managing the Rain family's horses. The Rain family, who were initially named as defendants in the Nika trial, went to mediation with Guthrie and Brandmeier and have now pressed a cross-claim against Lamaze for misrepresentation and breach of Florida's Deceptive and Unfair Trade Practices Act. This case is now moving toward a jury trial. In a statement from the FEI, this is a quote, the FEI is aware of the civil lawsuit filed in the U.S. against Eric Lamaze. However, the FEI is not involved and not in a position to comment, as the FEI does not deal with horse sales disputes, end quote. However, the FEI confirmed that on Monday, October 9th, 2023, that the organization has now suspended Lamaze from competition effective September 12th, 2023, over his apparent refusal to submit to testing at the June 2021 Longines Global Champions Tour Walkenswaard CSI 5-star in the Netherlands.
Okay.
FEI documents also indicate the organization recently added a tampering charge to that case, stating the same forged documents that were submitted in the Aziz case in Canadian courts were also submitted in the FEI's anti-doping case as well. At a hearing in September, the FEI initially stated in September of 2023, and this is a quote, there is an alleged human anti-doping violation against Eric Lamaze for refusal to submit a sample collection, and the matter is ongoing at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. At this stage, the FEI cannot comment further on this. Mr. Lamaze is not provisionally suspended and thus entitled to compete while he had confirmed to the FEI that he had retired. He is also entitled to and coach. Entitled to coach, sorry, end quote. Ultimately, the FEI suspended Lamaze for 4 years, fined him 15,000 CHF. I don't know what that is, some kind of money, and made him pay the FEI's Canadian horse funds.
CHF?
CHF.
15,000 CHF.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a weird idea.
Yeah. So, and made him pay the FEI's legal costs when he failed
Canadian horse funds? Well, it could be that. I mean, how often do we pay the things?
I don't think that's
horse,
what it is.
Horse funds.
It made him pay the FEI's legal costs when he failed to appear.
I can never get rid of my ponies when I use Canadian horse funds.
Before the tribunal on the charges of tampering with doping controls and submitting forged documents. Although many were incensed that Lamaze hadn't been given a lifetime ban, to date the FEI never has brought down this severe penalty. However, the suspension includes not just riding, but also coaching, and any barn or rider found to be using Lamaze as a coach will be subject to fines and sanctions. Others who tussled with Lamaze in court are attempting to put their lives and businesses back on track. Marie Fraze, Eric's former PA, remains in Wellington where she offers concierge services. Ainsley Vince, who, with her stable, Linden Ridge, were named as co-defendants along with Eric Lamaze in the Iron Horse lawsuit, had been a former student of Lamaze, as were her sisters. In fact, Sister Courtney worked full-time for Lamaze after graduating from school and prior to starting up her own horse sales business in Belgium. 5 years after the trial was initiated, Ainsley had a client's horse fall on her as they approached a water jump. Ainsley was airlifted from the show to Sunnybrook Hospital, where she remained in a coma for 3 days. Sister Courtney returned home from Brussels or Belgium with her horses to run Ainsley's stable, Linden Ridge. Although doctors advise Ainsley not to return to riding, she has, and both sisters are hoping to return to the top ranks of show jumping eventually.
Wow.
Karina Fredericks Aziz and her partner Stefan now are based in Europe and run the Caledon, Ontario Iron Horse Farm satellite farm, Iron Horse Farm in Heilwijk, the Netherlands. Karina continues to ride and is a children's book author. The U.S. law firm, who represented Eric in the Fraze case in Florida, after withdrawing their services, later attempted to sue him for $180,000 in unpaid legal fees, but were unable to find him to serve papers, so ultimately the case was dropped. Kara Chad was traveling alternate for the Rio Olympics and represented Canada at the 2018 World Equestrian Games. She is now based in the U.K. and runs Maple Park Farms with her partner, Matthew Sampson. Robert and Sandra Makoviak, they were the small-time breeders, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy a year after their unsuccessful lawsuit with Lamaze. First Choice 15, the horse Eric sold that belonged to Janice Aaron, is still competing at age 20 and is currently being ridden by 18-year-old Federica Fernandez, who rides for Mexico but is based in Florida. Nika V.D. Bishkop, the horse named in the lawsuit between Lamaze v. Guthrie and Brandmeier, represented Canada at the World Championships and was ridden by Beth Underhill of the Canadian team in the 2023 Pan Am Games in Chile. The team finished with bronze, which secured Canada's spot in the Paris Olympics of this year, 2024. Well. On November 13, 2023, Judge Maxine Chessman ruled in favor of Guthrie and Brandmeier in the Newbury-Nika case, stating that Lamaze owed the pair $1.4 million for the fraud. On November 30th of the same year, Lamaze's new Florida attorney, Brad Kelsey, appealed this decision, claiming Lamaze's previous attorney dropped him at a crucial point in the trial, and so Lamaze was, quote, fundamentally denied due process, end quote.
Yeah.
Tim Danson, Lamaze's longtime friend and lawyer, said he never doubted Lamaze's illness, but he now does. Quote, Now I doubt everything. My gut feeling tells me he has a serious medical problem. I don't know what it is, but I always thought it was cancer. But now that this has come to light, it may not be the case. Maybe he has a good explanation. I simply don't know. End quote. Oh, no, I didn't. End quote. He goes, something is wrong. The Eric Lamaze that I'm dealing with is not the Eric Lamaze I've dealt with in the past. And the real Eric Lamaze would never be involved in something like this, but I can't ignore what has been presented. End quote. So as of September, Lamaze's former public relations firm is no longer representing him. End of story.
End of story. So you didn't seem to speculate
on whether he actually had cancer or not?
Not whether he had cancer or not, but what is actually behind all of the nefarious dealings, like, I guess.
Well, that would be speculation. So it sounds like he did have some form of cancer, mm-hmm. but it's questionable as to what kind.
Yes.
I do think probably would be my guess. Substance abuse issues, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
hard to know.
Yeah. Hard to know.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's the usual story that we run into in horse mysteries where you're like, you know, this really talented person, you know, a really talented rider, horse rider or equestrian, you know, that just spends like the next, does all this great stuff and then just spends the next 40 years just dumping dirt all over their legacy until it's buried, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort not of, even sort of 40 years with him.
Yeah, almost right away. As soon as he had like, as soon as he had any kind of like leverage from winning, he just took it and ran mm-hmm. with it. You know,
yeah,
it's too bad. But like, you know,
he's a survivor.
He's a survivor. Yeah.
He's an opportunist.
When you hear how he grew up and the situation of how he grew up, he's already a survivor even before he was out of diapers. He was probably already like learning how to manipulate and, you know, twist things in his own favor.
Just do whatever he can to survive. Yeah, and,
well, we can't blame him. We have parents or guardians who are, you know, who themselves are substance abusers or, you know, have addiction issues. There's just no way that you get any attention. You know, mm-hmm. your whole life is neglect, you know,
and even like something as simple as untreated ADHD, you know, mm-hmm. like obviously it was enough to have a significant negative role in his early life, and if something like that's left untreated, then obviously people are just going to start to self-medicate, and starts you down that rocky road.
Yeah, it's sad. It's not the usual fun story we get here at Horse Mysteries, is what I'm saying. If I could list the fun stories we've had on one finger, probably.
I know, that's the problem. That's why I'm actually already doing season 5 medical mystery, and I'm so excited about it because it's, I don't know. I think those, at least there's no purposeful, no, not really a ray of sunshine, but no purposeful victims at the very least.
Yeah,
so yeah. When people do things on purpose, like you say, it's so terrible. It's kind of a downer.
It is kind of a downer. Maybe that's why I'm not like the biggest true crime person, I guess. I don't mind mystery books. Like, mm-hmm. I like reading like a mystery, you know, where there's like a thing that happens and then someone solves it. That's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Getting down in the mud with all these people. But I guess they do drag everyone else into the mud with them.
They do.
It's unfortunate. Because really, like, what do these people want? Nothing really. They just want to have the opportunity to
have a horse, hang around the show, see it go. Yeah.
And just like, kind of like, and participate in the kind of magic he brought to riding, you know, mm-hmm. like you're like, well, this is Eric Lamaze. He's an amazing equestrian. He has this kind of supernatural understanding of horses, and he'll, you know, we can, you know, kind of ride that magic carpet and you know, and experience this, and it'll be awesome. And then you get nothing but grief, you know, mm-hmm. and just the fact that he himself, you know, obviously, you know, like when you said, oh, this, you know, do you want to hear some of the, I was thinking like, oh, he's done other, you know, things with horses where he's misrepresented, you know, and said this horse is great and actually the horse was a goat, but it's not that, you know, it's just like, you know, he's got
it's
a condo,
endemic,
he's,
yeah, it's condo, like every aspect yada, of his life,
every part of his life, yeah, is this this long list of things, and it's, you know, like as much as, you know, I was kind of, I don't think I was criticizing, but much as I was kind of like you know, casting him against Ian Miller in terms of their styles, you know, like obviously Ian Miller's like the saint compared to that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's boring and he wears glasses, but he's a saint. Well, so I gave my last thoughts. Do you feel like you said all you have to say about Edgar
Mice? I do, yeah.
We did mention that he invented a form of giving birth.
What's that?
The Lamaze method.
But he kept it a secret.
He sold it to 16 different people for millions of dollars. All right, well, you know what?
What?
I know that you're a person who's very organized. You're like, they say opposites attract. But
here
in this
I am
case,
nodding.
In this case.
Good podcasting, nodding.
Yeah, that's right. They say opposites attract, you know. But in this case, I think both of us are pretty much on the same wavelength, same kind of personality. You're very organized. I'm a complete mess. Wait a second, that's opposites attract. What was I thinking? Anyway, what's the next show, dear?
It's called Gray Area.
Gray Area?
Yeah.
Ooh. So I'm going to guess right now that this is about, your kind of your favorite kind of horses. Gray horses.
There is a gray horse in this story.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. We'll find out. This mystery will be solved on the next episode of Horse Mysteries. That will take, I guess it'll come out in 2 weeks from now. So listen in for that. Also, what do you think of our show? Send us a comment. Go to sneakydragon.com, and there you'll find this show, amongst many others, on this what we like to call the Sneaky Dragon Network. But you can go to sneakydragon.com, and there you can leave a comment on this episode. Or you can go to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's our email address. Send us an email, and you know what? We'll read it on the show. We'll do that next episode. So, everyone, welcome to Season 4. I guess we'll enjoy this Olympian journey. All right, we'll see you next time.
Yep, bye.